Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The HSE has confirmed that in recent weeks, less than five children have been identified here with an unknown cause of hepatitis. This is more than would usually be expected over a six-week period. Yesterday, the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control said cases have also been notified in Spain, Denmark and the Netherlands, as well as the United States. Cases of the unexplained liver inflammation were first detected in Scotland earlier this month and have now been reported in a number of countries, including Ireland, as I just said. In a moment, I'm going to be speaking to Dr. Ilona Duffy, a GP based in Monaghan. But first, I'm joined on the line by Martin McKee, Professor of European Public Health in the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Professor McKee, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. I'm very concerned straight away that we put this in its context. Are we talking about something that is perhaps a cause for concern, but not a cause for panic?
Well, certainly not a cause for panic, but obviously people who are monitoring trends in infectious disease are concerned about this because we just don't know what is going to unfold over the weeks ahead. It could be something that's self-limiting. It could be the beginning of something more important, but there are still so many unanswered questions at this point.
What are the causes of hepatitis and what do you think is the most likely culprit here?
Well, in general, damage to the liver can be caused by infectious agents or by toxic agents. So, you know, a number of drugs can cause damage to the liver, but more often it's a number of viruses. And hepatitis A is the one that often affects children. It used to be much more common. Hepatitis B, shared from sharing of needles and from sexual contact and so on. So viruses or toxins would be the most likely. And the general view at the minute is that on balance, this does seem to be likely to have an infectious cause. But what the infectious cause is, we're not clear because none of the usual hepatitis viruses. And the virus that has been linked to it isn't occurring in all of the cases.
Any chance it's COVID related?
We really don't know at the minute. It certainly doesn't seem to be directly COVID-related, but whether or not previous COVID infection may make people more susceptible, that's obviously something we have to think about in anything that's emerging at this time when there's been so much COVID around at present, but it's just one of many lines of inquiry at the minute.
Okay, so what are the common factors here? What do these kids, if anything that you've been able to identify, have in common with each other?
Well, what they have in common is that they have an inflammation of the liver, and that's picked up on a blood test. Beyond that, there's actually quite a lot of variation. Many of them, but not all of them, have got jaundice. Many of them have had vomiting in the few weeks, in the few days before they become ill. But there are a wide range of ages. They're scattered geographically. One or two have had contact with each other. It's really very difficult to say at the minute.
We've heard reports that some have been left with very severe liver damage. Some children have been left with severe liver damage and some have needed liver transplants, Martin.
That's right. And of course, hepatitis, that's the other thing that there's been a very wide range of severity as far as we can tell. But there are a number of reports from both the United States and from Scotland of a very small number, I think two in the United States, a couple in Scotland of children that have gone on to liver failure and have needed a transplant. Obviously, that's very worrying. But I do stress that these are very, very small numbers at present. That doesn't mean that we don't take it seriously looking ahead because we don't know. But at present, the numbers are small.
Okay. And what are they if you look at the UK as a whole? I think you said 13 in Scotland. What is it?
Yeah, 61 in England reported so far. There's about 9 in the United States. There's a small number in the Netherlands, in Spain, in Denmark, and as you've said, under 5 in Ireland. Mm-hmm. That's what we've got so far. But of course, it's going to be changing as we go forward over the next few days, probably.
How do you treat it and what are the outcomes in children usually?
Well, as I say, in this case, they seem to be very variable. Most children with the classic hepatitis in children, hepatitis A, is usually self-limiting, and you just treat it symptomatically, rest, fluid, that sort of thing. But it really does depend very much on what the cause of the hepatitis is, and that's where we're in very much uncertain territory at the minute. And it is worrying that a number of them have been quite seriously ill.
Ilona Duffy, good morning to you.
Morning.
Cause for concern, but not yet for panic.
I think it's very reassuring to hear Professor McKee talk about this, because I think for many parents out there, the initial symptoms may be very common. They may match other viral illnesses, and we don't want to create panic and everybody worried that this is going to lead to hepatitis in all of their children. Because as you said, many of these children will have presented with viral type symptoms in the days and the week preceding developing the hepatitis. And that can include gastroenteritis type symptoms such as nausea, vomiting and perhaps diarrhea. So I think the message we will be giving patients is that if these symptoms are persisting, if your child is remaining unwell, having continued vomiting or nausea, unable to eat, having continued abdominal pain, and perhaps that you're noticing this change in the colour of their eyes, of their skin, then you definitely need to seek medical attention.
Okay. Have you been written to or contacted by the HSE, notified in any way about this?
I know it was reported in the media that we had, but I've received no notification about this and no advice on this. So,
and with these kind of numbers, five in this country, would you expect to, or has that not reached a critical threshold yet?
I think it probably hasn't reached quite the critical threshold, and also because, again, this is a learning process at the moment. Public health and obviously those who are treating these children still don't know exactly what's causing it, so I think that probably makes it a bit harder.
I have the HSE statement that you presumably will be receiving in time, so it's probably worth just going over it. It reads, over the past 6 weeks, a small number, less than five, of children with hepatitis of unknown cause have been identified in Ireland. This is more than would usually be expected over a six-week period. The children affected have no links to the other children involved. To date, no single virus has been identified in the cases. Investigations are currently ongoing to identify the cause of these illnesses. In the UK, health authorities have also reported an increase in hepatitis of unknown cause in children. Investigations are underway in the UK to determine the cause of the illness. The Irish cases have no links to the UK cases, and none had a recent travel history to the UK before onset of symptoms. That, Martin McKee, is the real head scratcher here, isn't it? If there is no link between Irish cases and UK cases, how did it come to be here?
I'd also remember that there have been cases in Alabama as well, which causes us to scratch our heads rather. It's really unclear. The one thing to say is, of course, that children do get hepatitis and not all cases are necessarily investigated. And so, therefore, it is possible that there are, and quite likely that there are other cases elsewhere that haven't been picked up yet. And now that there's a much greater awareness, people will be looking out for it.
Okay, so is it possible, Martin, that we're looking at, because we are scrutinising all viral infections in children and the elderly much more closely than we usually would, that we have identified a disproportionate number of cases that would typically, normally, in a non-COVID circumstance, be there in the general population?
No, I don't think that's the case, because I think the evidence is that this is definitely above what we would normally expect. What I'm saying is that, you know, as we're talking at the minute, there may well be, there probably are cases that haven't been picked up. But I think there's no doubt, certainly from the Scottish data anyway, that this is something new that is emerging. That doesn't mean, as I say, that we're picking up 100% of the cases at the minute. That's simply the point.
Ilona Duffy, I don't want to make light or be glib about what you just said, but can I sort of sum it up for parents by saying, at the point at which your child's eyes or skin colour starts to change is the point at which you should be worried?
Well, I think there are a few symptoms that, and signs, perhaps. So if you notice the white of your child's eyes are changing and becoming a yellow, have a yellow tinge to them, or perhaps the skin is starting to develop a yellow colour, that's what we call jaundice. And that obviously is a medical kind of reason to contact us, and we'll be arranging for you to be seen in hospital and your child to have blood done. But other symptoms may be a change in the colour of the urine. If the urine becomes very dark and the stools become very pale, more white in colour, that may also be another sign. So they're the things to contact us, your GP, about, and we'll be able to guide you from there.
Excellent. Ilona Duffy, thank you very much, and Professor Martin McKee also. Coming up after the break, have the GAA and the IRFU got an Ed Sheeran problem?
Email todaycb@rte.ie.